What a song, Roger. Beautiful. Good morning. I know I'm not Brother Keith. Y'all don't have to tell me. That's true. But it is just, I'm just awed to be able to stand in his pulpit this morning and give him a rest. He and his bride are on a cruise and they're celebrating their 78 years of marriage. And I know that they're blessed. I asked you this morning, I said to you, I said, Merry Christmas. Is that right? I missed one or two of you because of the situations around, but did I say that? Did I tell anybody Merry Christmas? Are you having a Merry Christmas this season? I sure hope that you are. I hope that all of you will realize that the Merry Christmas that I'm talking about is the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Because she chose the best Christmas. I know that you thought I was saying M-E-R-R-Y Christmas, but I was saying M-A-R-Y Christmas. That we all need to be having, not just today, not just this year, but next year and the next year and next year, forever. We need to choose what Mary chose, which was to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. That's why it's so important when we have Sunday school, when we have church, that we're there listening to someone that's prepared a lesson to teach us more about Jesus. Now, I need a little help here this morning. I've got a couple of questions before we get started. Is there anyone here this morning whose first or middle name is Martha? Would you wave at me? Okay, I've got two. Wonderful, thank you. Is there anybody here this morning that's first name or last or middle name is Mary? Would you wave at me? Wave at me. Mary Martha, all right. Martha Mary. That's wonderful. No, I didn't say Ken. I didn't say Ken. It's wonderful that we've got some Marys and Martha. But you know what you should have done? If I'd said if there are any Marys here this morning, every one of you should have waved at me. Why? Because Mary chose the right way, and we need to be like her. No offense to my Marthas, because they're both Marys when it comes to church. Now, let's pray, would you? Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come together to break the bread of life together, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us could have a Merry Christmas every day of the year. That we won't forget in June or July that we're still having a Merry Christmas. And that you can implant in our minds what we need to be doing for your kingdom and how we can be used. And I pray, Lord, that we will all understand that you love us so much that you have a place for us called heaven. But we've got to be willing to go there. Now, Lord, as we do study your word together, I pray an anointing upon it and that it would just touch hearts, change lives. In the holy name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. So I'll be reading in Luke chapter 10 this morning, beginning in verse 38. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. In the New American Standard, John. So, verse 38 says, now as they were traveling along, he, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, and Mary was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his words. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You get that? Jesus said that Mary had chosen the good part. We should never allow someone to take the good part away from us. We should always want and desire to have what Mary had. Every one of us at one time or another, though, has had some times that we don't really enjoy Christmas shopping. Amen? You go out there in that hustle and that bustle and all that crowd, and you hear all those things and you see all those things, and you wonder, why in the world am I doing this again this year? I gave up on Galleria a long time ago. I don't go there at Christmas. First, I'd have to dodge the bullets. Second, it's too crowded. So we get to the point in our lives where we detest this whole Christmas shopping thing, don't we? We're having a Martha Christmas, though, when we're doing that, and it's almost disgusting. We sometimes think that we would rather pay someone go shop for us. We have any of you ever used this new system that Walmart has by ordering your groceries or your packages and then pick them up a day or two later? Maybe that would be able, you'd be able to have a little extra time in your week to get ready for that horde of people that are going to invade your home on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. Most of us do not like to be distracted by all the shopping tasks. Like, for example, what size is Susie this year? How much has she grown? And what about Tommy? You know, he hates for me to buy clothes for him, but what can I get him? I don't know. Well, let me give you a spoiler alert here. Get them a gift card. Get them a money card. Got three granddaughters on one side of the family and one on the other, and they all are going to get a gift card. Makes the shopping and the wrapping a lot easier. But, you know, there are times when we get together and we're having a good time. And it's not always at Christmas. We get out there and we have invited a lot of people over to our house. And we've got 40 pounds of hamburger and 100 hot dogs to cook for our guest. And every one of them is in there watching television. They're watching the baseball game or the football game. And you're sitting out there saying, Lord, come on, help me. Send the rapture now. I'm ready to go. Or send somebody out here to help me, please. There's too much for me to do. Hey, it's hot, Lord. The flies are everywhere and there are mosquitoes biting me. Somebody please come help me. You know what I'm talking about. 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day. We need some help when that's going on, don't we? I can assure you that if you have trouble with this message this morning or this story, you're not the first one. I mean, you know, the dirty work always has to be done, and guess what? Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to do it. Martha was doing her best to provide for her guests. She wanted it to go off without a hitch. She wanted everything to be perfect. Anybody in here that's like that? Most of you ladies are like that, aren't you? Want it to be just perfect. And that's what Martha wanted. But she had more than she could do by herself. Why? Because she was distracted. She wasn't focused. When we lose focus on what the Lord has for us to do, that's when we are having a Martha Christmas or a Martha any other time. Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Luke 10, verse 40 says, without a doubt, Martha has the gift, but Martha was distracted with all her preparation, Luke 10:40. Without any doubt, Martha has the gift of service. She loves to serve. And she wanted everything to come off without a hitch. There's Jesus, what did they call him? Rabbi? The man that's going around and starting a new thing called Christianity. And she wanted it to be great. She didn't want there to be one flaw in what was going on. But you know what? Can this be a case where Martha is so busy serving Jesus that she's not paying attention to Jesus? Her attention has been distracted from paying attention to Jesus to do the things that she thought she needed to do. Could we become a busy person serving God and be distracted by what we're doing? Can we be distracted by serving God? Oh, yes, we have 1,000 things that we think we should do. Oh, wait now. I came to church this morning. That's right. I'm glad you did. That's wonderful. Come again next week. Come again tonight. Come again when we have another service. Find out what your gift is. Join this church. Be a part of it. Have you got a ministry? Use it here. The Bible tells us you all have a gift. Now use it for the Lord. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in wealth. Your Bible may say mammon. But for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Matthew 6, 24 and 25. He also taught us, people cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, 4. Someone has said it is better to go hungry than to go wrong. Is that correct? I believe it is. With all my heart, I believe it is. I think our frantic generation needs to hear this message this morning. I think we all need to know that there are things out there that are distracting us from having a Merry Christmas, M-A-R-Y. Often we place a value on ourselves based on how busy we are. Oh, but you don't understand. I got this to do and I got that to do. I got these other things that I need to do. And I just don't have time to go to Sunday school this morning. I don't have time to attend tonight. I don't have a lot of things that other people that are not as busy as me have time for. And we can find those excuses, but that's what they are. They're excuses. People, we need to stop worrying about so many things and refocus on the things that are really important. Refocus on the things that are important. You see, it's very easy to get out of focus. At least that happened to Martha, didn't it? As we see in the book, in the Bible. Guys, this isn't just a ladies thing. It's not just focus on ladies. Guys can get out of focus too. Your name can be R-O-N or J-O-N or J-I-M, and you can get out of focus. You can get your life contrary to what God wants you to do, and he has something for you to do, and he wants you to do it. And he's saying, why are you waiting around? Get busy. Loss of focus. There are four things I'm going to present to you this morning about the loss of your focus. The first is loss of focus causes questioning about God's care. We think that the Lord is not there for us. Nobody really cares to help us. But look at verse 40 again. Notice the first thing that Martha says to Jesus, Lord, do you not care? She's all mixed up, isn't she? She's going to the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords, and she's saying, don't you care? We know that Jesus cares. We know that God cares. We know the Holy Spirit will guide and protect us and help us. There seems to be an accusation, though, in her voice, doesn't it? You don't understand. I've got all this to do. Yes, he's God. He understands. Lord, I don't see all of these things happening. I don't see anything it's not going to be good, Lord, because I don't have enough help. Can't you do something? Don't you care about me? Are you going to let Mary sit there and be lazy and not ever help? Martha was angry at Jesus because he continued to let the situation go on and on and on. She was also mad at Mary because Mary didn't notice that she was needed. Notice that Martha addressed her irritation, though, at Jesus. Man, this is one gutsy woman, isn't it? She's talking to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and she's fussing at him. She's accusing Jesus of not caring for her because she was sure that if Jesus really cared, he would tell Mary to get up and go do something and help her. However, no help was coming, and Martha was almost furious. She no longer could contain herself. She just had to say something. Have any of you ever lost your focus? I was at a youth rally in Gatlinburg, Tennessee many years ago, back when I was a youth minister. I was trying to take some pictures. My camera wouldn't focus. So I realized I was going to have to move. I was going to have to get closer to my audience that was there. I was wanting to take pictures of those people that were singing and of the guy that was speaking in that night. It was Scott Dawson. Y'all may have heard of Scott. And so when I got up in a different place, I got some very good pictures. Very good pictures. You see, there's an analogy there that you can take from this. If you change how you're doing things, you can get your focus back where it should be. That's what I needed to do. I had to change where I was taking those pictures so that I could get what I needed the most. And who do we need the most? The answer is Jesus. You know, that God could fix anything. You realize that, right? And sometimes we blame God. God, why didn't you do this already? You're the most powerful being in the world, in the whole universe, everywhere. You could do it. And you think because he hasn't done anything or because he hasn't answered your prayer that he doesn't care about you. He hasn't fixed it. First off, he may not have fixed it yet because he has some other plans for you. Secondly, he might not have fixed it because he realizes that you need to be tested and that your testing will prove whether or not you are a valid Christian or not, or that you need to regain your focus. Everyone needs to be fed the bread of life, don't they? Don't they? Including preachers. Preachers need it just as much as y'all do. I was fortunate enough to go to the Southern Baptist Convention and hear some very good preaching. Oh, it was outstanding. Loved it. But we all need that bread. But the Bible teaches that God does care for us. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Then in Jeremiah 29, 11, we read, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And then in Luke 12, 6 and 7, it says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you're more valuable than many sparrows. Folks, here's a great truth. It's one that you need to remember. God always takes care of his children. I'm going to say it again. God always takes care of his children. There are many times in your life when you want God to speak and he doesn't. Don't judge God by the silence. Don't do that. He is concerned. He still is he's watching everything about you. He knows what you're going through and he'll always be there to watch over you. And he's always going to take your side. But Martha was worried more about the biscuits than she was about the blessings. She was more worried more about her roast than she was about her relationship with Jesus. Her focus was on food for the stomach instead of food for the soul. Which one is the most important? We can live 40 days without food. Did y'all know that? Moses did it for 80. Martha doesn't. She's so mad. So let's look at the second thing that we need to think about. The second item on our focus list. Loss of focus usually causes us to find fault with other people. In the second part of verse 40, Martha finally explodes with anger. And she comes out of the kitchen just bawling mad. She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all of the work? Tell her to help me. She's ordering Jesus around. She's telling him to do something. Martha doesn't even call her sister by name. She's so mad at her. She's mad at the world, and those who are close to her know it without any doubt. How can Mary just leave all this for me to do? To fend for myself? Can't you even tell my sister to come and help me? Can't she see what's going on? Doesn't she need to get up and just help me a little bit at least? Have you ever been around somebody that when they get mad, you don't want to be anywhere in the area? The explosion may not kill you, but the shrapnel will. It's going to be such a blowout. There'll be people there are people that when they get mad, they're mad at the world. You can say something and they'll snap your head off, even though you might have been telling them they were pretty or handsome. They take their frustration out on everybody and everyone. Here's some wisdom from the Bible on anger. Anger. Nobody in here gets angry. I know that, right? Ever. Except me. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. James 1, 19 and 20. And then Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourselves. Folks, if you get angry all the time, then you need to reevaluate what you're angry about. You need to reevaluate the situation and what's causing that anger. If you're focusing on the thing that somebody has done, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You need to be focusing on the love of Christ in your life and let that be the guiding light of your life. And then the third thing that I want to offer up to you this morning is the loss of focus causes resorting to self-pity. Self-pity. Do Do you know what all this boils down to? Martha, really and truly, she wanted to be sitting down next to Mary. She wanted to be hearing what he had to say. She wanted to be there listening to every word that he was saying. But she couldn't because she had this gift that he had given her called service. And therefore, she had been made a prisoner. She had been distracted. She had pulled away. The implication is that Martha wanted to hear Jesus herself. She wanted to be seated at his feet, and she wanted to be seated right there beside Mary, but she was pulled away. She was taken captive by her gift, which was service. Fretting about the meal that has robbed her of her joy. Never let anything rob you of your joy. Don't do that. The only place you can get joy is from Jesus. It's the only place. Joy to the world. Where did that joy come from? From Jesus Christ when he was born. We should never allow anything to rob us of the joy of the Lord. We should, of course, take our responsibility seriously, right? But not to the point where we neglect listening to Jesus. Martha wanted to listen to Jesus as he offered words of abundant life. Martha wanted to listen to Jesus as he said, if you want to save your life, you must give it away. Martha wanted to listen to Jesus as he explained that the last shall be first and the first last. Martha wanted to listen to Jesus when he said, pray for your enemies and bless those who curse you. And Martha also wanted to listen to Jesus as he said, I am the bread of life. He who eats of this bread will never perish. You'll live forever. But she could not listen to Jesus, for her mind had been taken captive by many things, Jesus says. And so Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha. He's getting her attention. She says it twice. Martha, Martha. You're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Focus on me. Folks, that's something that we all need to put in our Bible and remember that we need to focus on Jesus. It's a great truth. Focus on Jesus. And then fourth, loss of focus can be cured by refocusing. So if you've lost your focus and you know it, then you can get refocused. Unless we focus on Jesus, we will focus on the wrong things. We will focus on the things that are not about his kingdom or about what he desires for us to do. See, we make plans and we leave Jesus out of them. We plan things in our church sometimes and we leave Jesus out of them. Is this what Jesus wants us to do? Everything that we ever do should be put to him first to make sure that's what he wants. There's a Scottish legend that speaks about a poor boy that was seated on a mountainside watching over sheep. And he looked down at his feet, and there at his feet was a flower, pretty flower. He reached down and picked it, and he heard a loud noise. And he looked, and where the mountain was in front of him, he saw an opening to a cave. So he got up and went into the cave. And he looked inside and there were valuable gems and gold and silver. And so he started picking them up. And he filled his arms up and started out and he heard a voice say, don't forget the best. And so he put those things down and he gathered up even more. He just started filling up his arms and he couldn't hardly carry them. And he started out the entrance, and the voice said again, don't forget the best. And so again, he put them down. And then this time he started filling up his pockets. He started hooking things onto his belt, and he filled his arms up till they were just almost falling off. falling out. All the stuff's falling out. And he went outside. And when he did, the door closed behind him. And within a second, everything that he had picked up, all those diamonds, all that gold, all that silver, turned to dust. And the voice said, "You forgot the best. The flower that you left in there was the best. You should have taken it with you." Folks, what's the best thing that we can take with us? Jesus Christ. He's the key. It's better for us to have a M-A-R-Y Christmas than to have a M-E-R-R-Y Christmas. Because if you don't have a M-A-R-Y Christmas, you'll never have an M-E-R-R-Y Christmas. It's never about Santa because it's always about Jesus. When you sit down to eat or before you open those presents, remember that it was and still remains to be all about Jesus. Focus on him. If you're desiring a Merry Christmas this year, it has to begin with your relationship with the Savior. And it has to be a M-A-R-R-Y Christmas. He wants you to be a part of his kingdom, but you have to step out in faith. You have to believe. You have to get focused on Jesus. He loves you and he wants you to come to know him. Won't you step out this morning and give your life to Jesus if you're not saved? If you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with him, won't you do that today? Perhaps you've been coming for a while and you've decided you want to be a part of this church, but I really don't want to walk down in front of all those people. Hey, everybody in here will take you by the hand and bring you down if you just raise it. Somebody come walk with you. The Lord loves you, and I want you to understand, he knows your situation, and he wants to be there with you at your side. This church wants every one of us to be members. But more importantly, Jesus wants us all to be members. Not just so we can build a big church, but so we can build a big kingdom. There's power in prayer. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the chance to serve you this Sunday morning, for a chance to learn about where our focus needs to be and how we can serve you better, for a chance to know that you are the only way. You are the key. You're the one that we're supposed to be focusing on every day of our life so that we can know you in a way that brings joy and honor to your kingdom, not to the things that we want as Christians, as people that are church members, but what you want. Now, Lord, you bless us. You allow us to see your handiwork. If touch some life, let them know that they are desired as a member of this church. In the holy name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen.